Turn to one of my favorite books in the Bible, 1 John. We'll look at chapter 3. I want to depart from our studies in Luke today and this evening and deal with the children of God, the benefits of us now and in the future. Let me read that to you, verses 1 through 3 of 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has his hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. There are two categories of families in this church here this morning. The text that I just read to you speaks of those who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and are part of the family of God. The only true and living God is their Heavenly Father, is our Heavenly Father. As a result, we are the children of God. As such, we will be accorded all the privileges and the honor that goes along with being the children of the only true and living God. But in my prayer time this morning, I even said to the Lord, "Lord, I would never say what I'm about to say and read to them. But there are other children in this place this morning that belong to an entirely different family. And as long as they remain in their sin and refuse to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will remain in that family, eventually suffer all the judgment and condemnation that goes along with being in that family. Those who are not saved are the children of the devil." You can look at 1 John 3, verses 10 through 12. "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous." And in John chapter 8, verse 44 and 47, Jesus said, "You are the father of the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." You see, there's no standing on the fence. Every man, woman, and child. And I saw some people as I was driving in this morning, and some of them looked pretty sorry looking. And my tendency was to speak evil of them. And I said, I remembered, they don't have the Lord. They're without God and without hope in this world. I'm going to leave that part of the introduction and focus on the glorious news of the text that I want to read once more. Look at chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 again. "Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We'll expound verse 3 tonight, Lord willing. What a fantastic, glorious blessing to be the children of the true and living God. Amen. We quote that so much, it really doesn't mean much to us, but to think there's only one true and living God, and by his grace and mercy, he saved us and adopted us, and we have become children of the living God. Now, if you focus on the text carefully, you will see that the text focuses on the blessing of being children of God. First of all, now in our present state. Look at verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." In verse 2, beloved, now we are the children of God. So we're talking about the present state. But wonders of wonders, if you focus on the glorious blessing of being the children of God, we see it in the future state. When the Lord returns, we will see him face to face. Look at verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. So in this brief text, we see the glorious blessings of being the children of God now in our present state, and the glorious blessing of being the children of God in our future state when we see our Lord Jesus face to face. Your outline shows you I have broken the text down. First of all, I want to look at the glorious blessing of being the children of God in our present state. And what's the basis for that blessing? Verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. When I began to think long and hard of that statement and did some research as to the detailed interpretation of the words, you become overwhelmed. A casual reading of the statement will cause us the impact that we are challenged to consider. As far as I'm concerned, with my grossly limited vocabulary, it's beyond my ability to enlarge onto it, so I've resorted to plagiarism of the first order. Let me show you what some of the Greek text experts say. The word behold, it means look closely, meditate, ponder, give close attention, scrutinize and contemplate what I'm about to say. Another one says, behold is a word of wonder. John had seen many wonders. John's life from the time of his conversion was full of wonders when he walked with the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years. He was an eyewitness of the miracles performed by the Lord. When he appeared to him after his resurrection, when he was given the full vision of the end times as he was called upon to write the book of the Revelation, when he saw the Lord Jesus then in all of his regal splendor, he was so overwhelmed he fell down at his feet as a dead man. And all of this wonders became somewhat commonplace for John. Yet as he wrote this text, he could not help but burst out in exclamations of amazement. Behold, meditate, ponder, give close attention, scrutinize and contemplate what I'm about to say. What manner of the love the Father has bestowed upon us. In that phrase, what manner of love, how great a love, doesn't do justice to the Greek. It's a classic Greek for something foreign, something alien, something that is inexplicable in known terminology. It really says, look, there's a love that's utterly unknown to us. It's not at all like human love. It's alien. It's a love that's beyond human experience, and the human experience doesn't know it. It's a love that's outside of us, above us, beyond us. We have a God who loves us with a love that's foreign to anything we know. As Paul says, the love of Christ passes knowledge. It's the love that basically loves because it chooses to love. Don't ask the question, I don't know what God ever saw in me. He didn't see anything in us. The only thing he saw in us was our sin and that we deserve judgment. But his love overwhelmed that. John looks and says, this alien love, look at it, this love the Father has bestowed on us. And there he answers the question. If the question is what kind of love it is, where did it come from? The answer is, it came from the Father. The source and origin is heavenly. God is the initiator of this love. The love is foreign to anything we know, but this love, says, is bestowed on us, and he uses the verb which expresses a generosity kind of giving. We could almost say lavished upon us. This is the love God has given us. Even though some of you have fallen asleep already. Don't be shocked if I call your name out. Shame on you. We're talking about the love of God and you're dozing off. John, 1 John 4, 9-10. And this, the love of God, was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It was free, uninfluenced, undeserved, unmerited, spontaneous, and sovereign love from God that has no human explanation. Nor does it have a human counterpart, because there was nothing in us whatever to elicit that love. He loved us because he chose to do so. Let's look at the nature of that glorious blessing of being children of God. Having shown how God demonstrated his own love toward us, John shows us another way that God has lavished his love upon us. Look at verse 1. That we should be called children of God. He loved us so much that we should be called children of God. He brought us as close as we can get. He brought us into his family, children of God, not just friends, not just co-workers and co-laborers, even those elements are a part of that relationship with God, not just members of his kingdom, but family adopted as his own beloved children. Now, there's a phrase that's not in the King James or the New King James, but it's in the other translation, verse 1, that we should be called the children of God, and we are. This is not a title, but it's an absolute fact. Beloved, now we are children of God. That's very encouraging, very comforting to us. He loved us when we were sinners and undeserving. He loved us when we were strangers and foreigners. He loved us when we were alienated from him. He loved us when we were his enemies. He loved us when we once were children of the devil. Look at verse 10 of this same chapter. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. He who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And as Cain was of the wicked one and murdered his brother, and why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Here is where we see the magnitude of the redemptive work of the precious Lord Jesus Christ. It's only when we consider the alternative of being a child of God that we can appreciate just how great a love the Father bestowed on us. Somehow, for some reason, we have lost this. We have lost our understanding of how special it is to be called a child of God. Listen to Colossians 1:13-14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his body, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. And when he delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, he adopted us into his family. We became children of God. Think about this. Before we were saved, we were under the power of darkness. We were children of the devil. Galatians 4:4-7, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we may receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his sons into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, we are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ. Love is inherently the fabric of God, so that every attribute of God is pervaded by each other attribute and its complete love. Zephaniah 3:17 said it's a renewing love. The new covenant in Jeremiah says it's an eternal love. Romans 9 verses 13 through 15, it's an electing love. Romans 5:8, it's a saving love. Romans 8:38 through 9, it's an unbreakable love. Ephesians 5 as a protecting and purifying love. Hebrews 12:6 is a chastening love. It's not a general love. It's not a universal love. It's not an indiscriminate love. It is special, particular, and discriminating. It is a love that only believers know. And our text wonders, wonder of wonders, it's an adopting love. Behold, what manner of the love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And we are. Now, I want to add something to this glorious truth. Even though now we are the children of God, having been adopted into the family of God, His love for us, listen to this, His love for us is equal to the love that He has for His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. The way He loves Jesus Christ, that's the same kind of full love that He has for us. Go over to John 17, the Gospel of John, in the 17th chapter. John 17. It's amazing when you think about it. The love that God the Father has for us is the same, it equal to the same love that He has for Jesus Christ. John 17. This is the true Lord's Prayer. Here, look at verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, and they may be one just as we are one. I am then in you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know, look at this, that you sent me and have loved them as you loved me. That's amazing, isn't it? That God loves us the same way He loves His only begotten Son. Now, it's easy for us to understand that God's love for the Lord Jesus. He's a perfect Son of God, sinless, undefiled, separated from sinners. He's God, a very God. In obedience to the will of the Father, He humbled Himself and became a man. He always did the will of the Father, including dying for us. But we are another matter. We love Him because He first loves love, for our love for Him far short in comparison. He is faithful to us, but we are many times unfaithful to Him. We fail Him in many ways. We often offend Him in many ways. We put other things ahead of Him. And to hear our blessed Lord say that God the Father loves us as much as He loves His own Son is a truth that should stagger our minds. There's nothing we can do to make Him love us more. And praise God, there's nothing we can do to make Him love us less. As the song goes, He who knows me best loves me most. When things become difficult and you're tempted to believe that God has abandoned and forsaken you, go back and remind yourself of the statement by our Lord Jesus in the text. You have loved them as you have loved me. One more thing. Even though we are children of God by way of adoption, Jesus Christ, the unique Son of God, loves us as much as He loves God the Father. Not only does God the Father love us the same amount of way that He loved Christ, but Jesus loves us in the same degree that He loves God the Father. John, look at John 15, please. John 15. Verse 9. I'm going to emphasize these words. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Now, in the Greek language, major emphasis is given to the three words in that text. In the reading text, I tried to bring out that emphasis by my voice inflections. Look at the text again. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you in the same degree, with the same boundless dimensions, in the exact manner that my Heavenly Father loves me, Jesus said. I love you in the same degree, with the same boundless dimensions, and in the exact manner. As the Father loved Christ for all eternity, so Christ has loved us for all eternity. As the Father loves Christ with divine delight, so Christ loves us with divine delight. As a Father loves Christ with a special and peculiar affection, so Jesus loves us with a special and peculiar affection. That's why John said in Ephesians, the love of Christ passes knowledge. It's beyond anything we can see the cross and get a glimpse of how much God loved us and how much Christ loved us, but it's still beyond our ability to grasp. As a Father loved Christ with an unchanging, invariable, constant love which will last forever, so Jesus says he loves us with an unchanging, invariable, constant love which will last forever. Now this morning, I want to try and wrap our arms around this astonishing and glorious assertion, namely that Jesus loves the children of God in the same degree, within the same boundless dimensions, and the exact same manner that his Heavenly Father loves him. Now we know this because Jesus said it. We know that Jesus loves us because he tells us over and over again. He also has demonstrated this in the greatest way possible, dying for us while we were helpless, while we were sinners, while we were still his enemies. But for the most part, we do not appreciate the great love of Christ for us. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Another thing. The children of God, adopted into the family of God, we are joint heirs in the inheritance that will be given to Christ. 1 Peter says we have an inheritance in heaven reserved for each one of us that will never pass away. Romans 8:15-17, for you did not receive the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together with him. In spite of all of our failures, Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers. Hebrews 2:11-12. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praises to you. Now, what's the consequences of this glorious blessing of being children of God in our present state? The consequences of this glorious blessing of being children of God, look at verse 1, therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Because we are the children of God by his sovereign, saving, supernatural love, having been transformed, the old life gone, we walk in newness of life. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. The world does not know us as such. The unregenerate cannot comprehend who we really are. When you go into a restaurant and sit down, they have no idea you're a child of God. They have no idea that the Spirit of God, that is the creator of the universe, lives within each one of us. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. He lives in you. They have no idea that literally in your soul is the very life of God itself. They have no concept of the fact that you are fitted for heaven by God's grace. They have no idea that beating in your mind and your heart is the hope of eternal life. They have no idea that you have a direct access to the throne of heaven and that that throne are dispensed to you all the things that you need in life, answers to your prayers, peace, joy, love. That available to us is the fruit of the Spirit in all of its fullness. They have no idea that sent from heaven, dispatched to your aid, all the ministering angels of God, doing his will, fulfilling his purpose and protection concerning for you. They have no clue who you are. We possess a veiled life from above. They had no clue that Jesus was either. The great tragedy of those in the world is that they did not know God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. John undoubtedly had that verse in mind with the last part of our text. The world did not know who Christ was, even though they saw that he lived a perfect life. The world did not know who Christ was, even though they saw all his miracles. I mean, he goes into the synagogue, and there's this guy with a withered hand, and they're all standing around. Is he going to heal on the Sabbath? Is he going to heal on the Sabbath? And all Jesus says is, extend your hand, and the man's arm is healed. You think that would have an impact upon them? No, they said he broke the Sabbath, and went out to try to plot against him. That's how blind sin can is to us unless God opens our eyes, unless he calls life out of darkness, unless we are born again. We'll never see the kingdom of God. The world did not know who Christ was because he revealed their wickedness. And this is the condemnation, that life has come into the world, and our light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone preaching evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 through 8. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. If they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, there are two ways that we can let the world know that we are children of God. The testimony of our own lives. When we seek to live like children of God in all that we do and say, the world will take notice. In many cases, it will bring about questions that we should be prepared to answer. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense, an apologetic, to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope within you. Implied is that they see something in each one of us that causes them to start asking questions. We cannot expect anyone to believe we are children of the King unless we are worthy of that calling, or at least we're seeking by God's grace to live like a child of God. We are child of God. Let us our lives reflect that. There's a second way that we can reveal to the world. The testimony of our mouths. Take every opportunity to speak the truth of the gospel to those who come in contact with. word of mouth or a good gospel tract. We have a whole bunch of tracts out there in the foyer Mike puts out. Take some of them, and when you get opportunity, pass them out. Pray that God will open the hearts and minds of some of those you give the tract to. There are only two families in this whole world. Everyone in this place this morning are children of one of two families. According to the Apostle John, everyone in this place this morning are either children of God or you're children of the devil. We saw that in 1 John chapter 10, or chapter 3, verse 10. The children of God will be accorded all the privilege and honor that goes along with being the children of the true and the living God. Privilege is an honor that we cannot comprehend now. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Conversely, they are children of the devil. And those who are, if they remain in that fallen state, you will suffer all the judgment and condemnation that goes along with being in that family. The judgment that's specially prepared for the devil and his angels. But it doesn't have to be that way. Let's look at chapter John, 1 John chapter 1. It's a text that we can all quote. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we're willing to say, Lord, give me the grace, I repent of my sin, forgive me for my wickedness, God promises, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God that we are children of God now, and we will enjoy great blessings as being a children of God in the future. I wonder what it's like. I often think of Tom, and I miss Tom a lot. I often wonder what it's like to be ushered into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to see him face to face, to see the one who loved us and gave himself for us, to see the one who loves us as much as he loves his own heavenly Father. Dave, when you preached on the two men on the road to Emmaus, how Christ came and spoke with them, I've often wondered, since we'll be with him for all of eternity, if we could, maybe if Jesus would ask us and say, let's take a walk. And he says, let me explain to you all the things that went on in your life and what I was doing in all of you. I hope that's true. I don't know whether it is or not. But I'd love to hear the Lord Jesus open the scriptures and explain everything to us, to Jan and I, that we have no answers to. He loves us beyond anything we could ever observe. Praise God for that love. God the Father loves us. God the Son loves us. God the Holy Spirit loves us. Thank you. Let's bow in prayer and thank him. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for that glorious text that we just read and preached from. That we have, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. It does not yet reveal what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be like him. And then, Lord, we have that, the application of all that. He who has this hope purifies himself as he is pure. May that be a profound way of us appreciating what Christ and what God has done for us, what the Holy Spirit is doing through us, that we will seek by your grace to continue to have clean hands and a pure heart, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.